Welcome to the N1 podcast, where you'll get an inside look at stories from the Clemson MBA team,
as well as entrepreneurs and innovators from Greenville, South Carolina, and beyond.
Brought to you by the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub at the Clemson University MBA program.
Welcome to N1. This is Jamie Patterson coming to you from the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub. Today, I am so thrilled to be joined by Lydia Hainwich, who is one of our MBAE alums, who actually holds two degrees from Clemson, a bachelor in health science and education, as well as the MBA in entrepreneurship and innovation. So Lydia, welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Jamie. It's great to be on this podcast and represent Clemson.
Well, I'm so excited for everyone to hear your story, because I think that you've done so many interesting and exciting things. So why don't you get us started by telling us just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah. So my name's Lydia Hainwich, and right now I'm working at a sports tech company based in Boston, Catapult Sports, and we actually support Clemson football program. So we provide wearable devices, and basically it tracks the speed, distance, basically the overall performance of athletes.
So that's amazing. So how did you get into that field? So I know that you have a background in kind of health science, but you were an athlete yourself.
I was. So I can kind of take it back. So I grew up playing softball, grew up in Massachusetts, and I was always very competitive. I pretty much tried every sport that I could. And growing up, I really wanted to compete at an elite level. The goal was to play at a Division I program. So all throughout, I played travel and everything. And I was also really into fitness. I always prioritized my training. So I actually started off at a small Division III school in Virginia playing softball. And then I like trying new things. So I ended up quitting. I was just kind of frustrated with softball, just kind of over it. And I actually picked up rowing, which I never did before. but it was fun. I always wanted to do it because it was outdoors, and I always liked kayaking and everything. So I walked onto the team, and I was actually pretty fast. So I scored. I had the top score the first time I got on the rowing machine. So that's when I knew that it would probably be a possibility for me to transfer to a Division I program. So I took it upon myself just to reach out to Division I schools. I reached out to schools in California, North Carolina, and then I reached out to Clemson. And I did a site visit, went on the water and everything, and I just fell in love with the campus. And, you know, it's such a special family here at Clemson. I felt that right away.
That's such an amazing story. And another accolade that you received, and I want to hear more about this, you were named the NCAA Strength and Conditioning Athlete of the Year in 2016. So what does that mean, and what did that entail for you?
Mm-hmm. That was pretty special to me, because I've always, like I said, prioritized my training. And I think that's what allowed me to compete at the Division I level and kind of find the sport of rowing. So I'm pretty short for a rower. I'm 5'4", so I needed to train as much as possible and just get as strong as I possibly could. So I was always in the weight room at Clemson and just putting the extra work in and doing conditioning on my own. And I actually interned in the weight room when I was at Clemson, because originally I wanted to be a strength and conditioning coach. So I think that's how I got my accolade, just by my work ethic in the weight room. So I actually started with just a tiny scholarship at Clemson. And then by the time I got that accolade, I was able to get a full scholarship, which was my goal as a kid growing up. So that was pretty cool to see.
That's an amazing story, because I think a lot of times there's so many transferable skills, especially when it comes to leadership and drive, between being an athlete and the business world and being successful in business. So I think that's a really good transition into, you know, after undergrad, you decided to come to the MBA program in entrepreneurship and innovation. So what was your drive to do your MBA, complete your MBA? And especially in that program, you come in with a business idea. So what was your business idea? And give us kind of the status of what that looks like today.
Sure. So when I went, I wanted to learn more the business side of sports and analytics and just training or fitness. So I decided to get my MBA right after Clemson. And I've always been pretty entrepreneurial, I would say. I always did personal training in the summers and just kind of promote classes and promote personal training. So coming into Clemson, I've always wanted to have my own performance company specifically for young females. So when I was at Clemson, I developed my business idea was a training app for young females around ages 12 to 18. And basically it went through different training processes and how to earn a Division I scholarship. And it also touched on aspects outside of training, just transferable skills, like you mentioned, just making sure that you're prioritizing yourself, self-care, training, everything along those lines.
And I think that's so important because I know that's something that we always put last, right, is our own self-care. So, and what an interesting group of young girls to tap at that age to really get them thinking from a young age how to prioritize their health and their self-care.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think why I'm so passionate about that age is I think a lot of young females, they might struggle with body image, or that's a time when they really need a mentor in their life. So I think that's kind of the gap that I saw, and that's what drove me to run that initiative. So I actually do have a small online training business now, which focuses on that same concept, and it's evolved over the years.
Tell us how you ended up at Catapult. Mm-hmm.
So after I graduated from Clemson with my MBA, I always wanted to travel, and I never had the opportunity when I was in school because I was rowing, so I couldn't study abroad or anything. So I never really visited any other countries except Canada, which doesn't really count. So I really wanted to go to New Zealand. I had a teammate of mine at Clemson who's from there. So I stayed at home for a little bit, saved some money when I was personal training. And then I just booked a one-way ticket to New Zealand. And I didn't really have a plan at the time. I was just kind of looking into different companies. I actually did find Catapult on LinkedIn, and I just kind of reached out to a bunch of people, just directly messaged them when I was in New Zealand, and there ended up being a job opportunity in Boston. So I came back to Boston after 6 months, but my original plan was just to explore New Zealand and Australia sports performance tech company that's really big over there. So that was kind of my plan to see if I could get a job there, but ended up coming back to Boston.
I love that. How entrepreneurial of you to just buy a one-way ticket to New Zealand.
Yeah, my parents weren't too thrilled about it after.
I'm sure.
School, but they ended up visiting me out there, which was a lot of fun. It's beautiful out there. I would definitely go back if I could. But Catapult's actually, they started in Australia. So we do have an office there in Melbourne.
Oh, nice. Have you traveled to Australia too? Or did you not make it before you came back to Boston?
I was only there for 2 days. I flew out of Sydney, so it was pretty quick, but I'm hoping one day I can visit our Catapult office there.
I was going to say, I'm seeing a business trip in your future.
I would love to be there, but the weather's a little bit warmer than Boston. But
absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think something that's really interesting about you is that you noticed, particularly in the sports tech industry, that it's such a male-dominated field. And you really wanted to create more diversity within the company. So I know that you've created some great partnerships, specifically with women in sports tech. So tell us a little bit more about that and what that means to you.
Sure. So when I first started at Catapult, I noticed that gap. Like you said, that it was mostly men in the field. And I'm in a sales role, and there's only two other female sales reps in the company. And we have about 400 employees total. So we did, in January, our company wanted to diversify and just make sure that we're hiring more females and different races, everything along those lines. And so I love LinkedIn. I was just looking up.
Me too.
It's such a great tool, and it's free, which is nice. I was looking up women in sports tech. That's literally what I Googled, and then I found the founder was on LinkedIn, and I just messaged her, like, saying her work was inspiring and just wanted to connect on a call. And I kept consistently reaching out to her, and then she answered me, and then we set up a call, and she learned a little bit more about my background. So I've been working with that nonprofit organization for about 6 months now, And I brought it up. I brought up women's sports tech to our CEO at Catapult. And he's very, very supportive of diversifying our company. So that's kind of how that came about. And we actually do have an event this Friday, the MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference. We're hosting a happy hour together. So
that's amazing to trailblaze that. And I think that, you know, I'm sure you've been in situations where you might have been, you know, worried or thinking, how am I going to do this? But you took that step and it's created such an interesting, great partnership that's going to continue on for the next generation of women in sports tech. So what advice would you have for younger women that are maybe in fields that are more dominated on the male side in order to break through and really leave your mark?
Mm-hmm. I would say, so to embrace that you're a female in a male dominated company, but do your best to try to promote other women to become involved. Or I think it really just comes down to awareness at Catapult. So I think the reason, well, when I first started, I noticed that on the website, it was mostly most of our male teams that were being promoted on the website. And that's something, you know, that I wanted to change. And I think it's unconscious bias. Like, men don't really realize that there might not be as many females in the company, or maybe we're not, our job postings, you know, may be written a little bit differently. So we're attracting mostly men to the jobs. So that's something we're fixing here at Catapult. And that's what I really love about the company. It's very innovative, very progressive, and making changes all the time. But that's the advice I'd give to young women, like just step forward and be confident. And, you know, at first it's going to feel a little bit awkward, but just, you know, I think just do your best to speak your voice.
Yeah, I love that. So let's go back to your Clemson experience. What was the most memorable experience that you had? Let's start with Clemson overall, and then I want to dive deeper into your MBA experience. So just overall Clemson experience, what really, when you think about Clemson and you smile, what is it that comes to mind?
I would say, I think I mentioned this earlier, but the Clemson family, I just felt, I'm from Boston and I never really, you know, ventured out much. So it was nice to be just surrounded by so many positive people. I think that's what I miss most. I feel like the vibe, everyone's just, you know, always very upbeat and helping one another. So I try to always carry that with me wherever I am. And athletics was a big part of it too.
I was going to say being a part of an athletic team almost gives you a separate sense of family within Clemson too. So what was that like for you? Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. So with rowing, it was a pretty big team. There were 60 girls total. And I stay in touch with all of them and the coaches as well. Most of them were pretty spread out now, but we usually always FaceTime and everything. But especially with the sport of rowing, I think, you know, you're with each other in the boat all the time. Like, we're trained, you know, mornings and afternoons. So we definitely got to know each other well. But right now it's cool to see where everyone's at and just kind of reconnect.
So tell me a little bit more about the training for rowing. I mean, is it what I'm thinking? Like, you were up at 4 a.m. in the boat on the lake.
Yeah. It was pretty early. Usually it was around 5 a.m. We'd wake up, go to practice. When I first started, the boathouse is probably like 2 miles away. I'd run or bike there, but then I got a moped and then I had a car, so it was a little bit better. But yeah, we'd row about 2 hours on the water when it was nice out. If we weren't, we'd be on the rowing machines around 2 hours. And then we'd come in the afternoon and do a jog, or we'd go back on the water. And then we'd have strength and conditioning training, usually 3 to 4 times a week. I don't miss waking up that early, but it was a little bit of adjustment when I left rowing, because I was training for so many hours. And actually, a reason why I really wanted to get into sports analytics, I was pretty overtrained by the end of my time at Clemson. So I just kind of want to learn like more about how to just train in a more efficient way. And we started implementing heart rate towards the end of my career at Clemson, and that made a big, big difference, because I'm a workhorse and, you know, a lot of the times I was doing too much. And females actually respond differently to training stressors. So I'm involved with a startup company right now called Wild AI, and it actually accounts for a female's menstrual health and tailors a training specifically to that, because a lot of times, you know, women aren't necessarily in tune with their period, and there's different times of your cycle when you should be backing off a little bit. So that's something that I'm also pretty passionate about. And there's not a lot of research, sport-specific research for females. It's mostly done on men, so that's why we don't really have exposure to that information.
The Clemson University MBA program is home to full and part-time corporate and entrepreneurship degree programs, a part-time business analytics program, and the new online MBA. Learn more at www.clemson.edu/MBA.
Well, it is so interesting to see how that has changed over the years, in particular, like you said, with training and being able to monitor and see where heart rates are, and of course, monitor other things as well. But I go back to, with all of this, there's a discipline in you that is, you know, just unbelievably present. I feel like when you meet you and just talking to you, you have this discipline about you. Is that something that was innate, or is it something that you just learned over the years of being an athlete and not necessarily having a choice of, look, I got to be at practice at 5 a.m.
Right. I would say it's innate. I think with everything that I've done, I wasn't naturally good at rowing. Like, I was a pretty awkward rower. Like, even in school, I just had to work really hard. Like, I'm not a very good test taker. But I guess it all comes back to that discipline, which my dad instilled in me. He was a competitive athlete growing up. And so I think I get it from my dad. And he kind of had a similar, he was always in sales and everything. So I guess I kind of learned that from him, being persistent. You never know what doors can open.
So would you say that you're competitive?
I'm very competitive. Yeah. In my office, I have I create competitions every Friday. Like, we have a mini basketball hoop. We had a hot sauce competition. So yeah, I try to have fun in the office too. But yeah.
What is a hot sauce competition, please?
Oh, so we got this kit off of Amazon, and there's 10 different flavors, and I went against one of my coworkers, Joe. We always banter and stuff, but we had chips, and we just kind of kept going back and forth and went to level 10, which is like the Carolina Reaper. I couldn't handle it. So I think we went for about 20 minutes just eating hot sauce, and then I was dead after. I was sweating. I was kind of hallucinating, but I don't know if I'd do that again. I don't know if I'd recommend it, but it's fun for people to watch, I think.
Oh my gosh, that is hilarious. That is too funny. Yeah. Well, then tell me about your MBA experience. Again, when you think about Clemson MBA, what was it about your experience here that makes you look back and have that smile on your face too?
It was a perfect segue to go right into the Clemson MBA program. And there, I think that kind of helped with my creative thinking. Gail DePriest was such an awesome mentor to me. And I think that just kind of worked a different part of my brain. I think with rowing and athletics, I was just so structured. So this kind of helped me to get into a different mindset. And that's where a lot of ideas came in that's when I started the online training program that I'm doing now. So I think that was a good transition to do something different. Yeah. But I stay in touch with a lot of the professors there. I remember I reached out to Dr. Pickett when I was in New Zealand, and I was trying to prepare for my interview. I remember taking the sales course there, which I thought I would never go into sales. I've enjoyed the class, but I've always been pretty quiet by nature. But the reason I wanted to get into sales, it's something I'd never done before, and I want to be better at communicating. So yeah, it's been quite the journey. It always goes back to Clemson. Clemson really helped. It's kind of, I guess, catapult me into my career and just different things that I'm doing now.
Well, I think it's really funny because that you mentioned that class specifically, because this morning before our conversation, I had talked to Dave Hooker and Dr. Pickett, and they both were so excited that you were going to be doing this podcast, and they said to say hello. So I'll be sure to let them know that you gave them a shout out to their sales class.
Oh, yes, please do. Yes, that was probably one of the most beneficial classes I've ever taken. So,
and I'll let Dave know that you never thought you'd go into sales, but look at you now.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know if other professors thought I'd be in it too, but yeah, here I am.
That's awesome. So I know with being an athlete, coaching is a big piece of that, but also having mentors is huge. So talk to me about your relationships, whether it was a coaching relationship or a mentor relationship that have really helped you.
I would say growing up, it was my father. And then I did go to a training facility, a softball training facility, which is for all women. And usually that's pretty rare to find. Usually you have like a lot of baseball and softball facilities combined together. But the founder there, Denise Davis, she was a great mentor of mine growing up. I trained at that facility about 10 years. And I think that kind of helped develop my work ethic and everything. And then when I was at Clemson, a strength and conditioning staff, my rowing coaches, I always tried to do my best to create relationships with my coaches, professors, and all of them were so helpful. And I, you know, stay after class a lot, after practice, and just try to learn as much as I could. And then a lot of mentors I've actually found through LinkedIn, the Woman in Sports Tech founder. When I was an undergrad, I remember I was just cold emailing a bunch of strength and conditioning coaches, and I actually emailed the first female strength coach for Major League Baseball. Her name's Rachel Belkovec. Look her up when you have a chance. But she has a really cool story, and I just wanted to learn from her because there weren't many female strength and conditioning coaches, and she hopped on a Skype call with me, and I've been in touch with her for about 5 years now. And she's the first female hitting coach, and she's working with the Yankees right now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been really cool to kind of look back on her journey and see what she's doing. So she's been an awesome mentor of mine.
Well, and I just think it's funny talking to you too about you've been cold calling forever.
I didn't realize it.
Think about it. You know, cold reaching out as an undergrad, that's something that's really hard for people to do. But I love to hear the success of it. You took that step to reach out to people, and, you know, you didn't die when some didn't write back. But the ones that did, you've built these relationships with. And now have this kind of group of mentors and sponsors within athletics that, you know, have been there, done that, that have also been trailblazers in their own right. So I love the fact that, again, going back to, you never thought you were going to end up in sales, but you were doing these type of sales tactics from a really early age.
Right. Yeah, I guess I didn't really realize that until now. Yeah, even when I was trying to get recruited for rowing, same thing. And I used to be, I used to hate speaking on the phone, but it's getting much easier.
Yeah, that's amazing. So what best advice do you have for young professionals and young women in general?
I would say, you know, start networking early on, like even in undergrad. And I think I work with a lot of young people have reached out to me on LinkedIn, and they kind of ask about jobs at Catapult or Women in Sports Tech. And I'd say using LinkedIn as a platform is huge, because it's even better than an email sometimes, because it's a direct message. So usually when I was at Catapult, what I did is I just found the different companies that I was interested in, just connected with individuals in the position that I was interested in, and just try to get them on a phone call. Like a lot of people love to help others, especially young people that are trying to navigate their career. I think it's important to do that early on, and be persistent in your networking efforts as well. If there's someone you really want to talk to, like, just find creative ways. Like, you can go on LinkedIn and see if they have a different email or maybe a phone number listed. But yeah, don't be afraid. You never know what can happen.
Yeah, I love that. I love the persistence aspect of it too. So of all the things that you're involved in, what inspires you?
I'd say just trying to make a strong impact. And I just really want people to feel good about themselves. And I don't know, I would say I'm a pretty positive person. And it makes me really happy when I see people doing what they love or just feeling good about themselves. But I guess relating it back to sports, like I've always been really passionate about being the best I can be on and off the field. And now I think at this point, I really enjoy working with young people and trying to help them, you know, find a career that they'd be passionate about, or helping them get that scholarship or anything along those lines.
I think that's amazing. And I always like to ask our guests if you have a favorite book or inspirational quote or movie that really kind of speaks to you and your journey. So what would that be for you?
Oh, this is a tough one. I love quotes. I have them, like, I have a bunch in my planner, and people at work always make fun of me because sometimes I like announce a quote of the week or something.
I do the same thing, so I'm not judging at all. In class, I'm always okay. Like, and here's my quote for this purpose. Nice. And yeah, no, I love it.
Yeah, it's good to have a little bit of inspiration. I found this quote. I think it was a football coach there was a good Dabo quote that I read the other day. All right, to be an overachiever, you have to be an overbeliever. And I guess I've always had a sense of belief in everything that I do. When I was growing up, I just really wanted a Division I scholarship or to be at, you know, a top program for athletics. And, you know, look, it happened, but it took a lot of belief and courage. That's one of my favorite quotes.
I love that. That is so inspirational. And it's so true. Belief in yourself and courage can take you so many places. So, and I so appreciate our conversation today, Lydia. Thank you for taking the time. And I just want to say on behalf of the MBA program, we are so proud of your platform. We're so proud of all that you've accomplished so far. And we're just excited to sit back and watch what you're going to accomplish next. So congratulations on everything. And you know, keep pushing and keep believing and having that courage, because again, with what you're doing, it's so important. And you know, the Clemson family will always be behind you.
Oh, thank you so much, Jamie. That means a lot. And thank you to the Clemson family for just pushing me along the way and always supporting me. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Go Tigers. Well, thank you for joining us in one. We hope you have a magical day, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jamie.
This episode was produced by the Clemson University MBA program and sponsored by the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub.
Thanks for listening to the Clemson MBA in One podcast. Hear more stories at www.clemson.edu/MBA/podcast.